24th chapter. We're going to probably continue in the same theme, kind of sort of this morning, and call this Get Up and Start Again. Get Up and Start Again. Proverbs 24, verse 16. When you're there, just say, I'm there. Okay, I'm waiting. We got to say it loud enough I can hear you. Oh, okay. All righty. I was trying to pick on somebody in the kitchen a while ago, and I have trouble reading Sister Tanya, and I didn't know whether I was getting to her or she was getting to me. And had me squirming. She fixed to stab me with one of those plastic forks. Anyway, Proverbs 24:16 in the New International Version says, For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. In the New Living Translation, it says it like this: they may trip seven times, but each time they will rise again. And then the EDB, I don't know what version that is, but it says a good man may be bothered by trouble seven times, but he does not give up. And I think they're all good versions. And you see the King James Version there: for a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I think that's a good saying, don't you? Although you may falter and fall, you get up. You start up again. You don't give up. There was a story of a man who was a trapeze artist. Here's how he described learning his trade. It takes repeated falls to convince you that the net will hold. But once you know that, you forget about falling and concentrate on learning. When that happens, you fall less, you risk more, and you learn more. Isn't that good? Because you see, we have a safety net. So although you might fall, you know Jesus is going to catch you. And so you can learn to risk more. So you don't have to be afraid of blowing it. You ever felt afraid of blowing it? Have you ever blew it? Yeah, we all have at one time or another. And if we live very much longer, we'll do it again. We'll do something silly or we'll blow it some way or another. Something won't turn out the way we think it should. But you cannot succeed without going through failures. Even if you could, you wouldn't have anything to share with others that they could relate to. Because everybody has blown it. Everybody has failed. Everybody has faltered. Everybody's made mistakes. And everybody needs help. So don't be afraid of blowing it. You can't succeed without going through failures. In 1978, a man named Bernie Marcus, the son of a Russian cabinet maker in Newark, New Jersey, got fired from his job at Handy Dan, a do-it-yourself hardware store. Instead of giving up, he teamed up with a friend, and they started their own hardware store. Their first store was in Atlanta, Georgia, and they called it the Home Depot. Today, he has more than 1,000 stores, over 175,000 employees, is worth way past $30 billion. I doubt if Bernie Marcus enjoyed getting fired, but look what he would have missed if he hadn't. You know, he has over $30 billion a year in sales at Home Depot. They support a lot of things. I don't suggest you shop there myself, but I'm just giving you a story. What failure can lead to. Harlem Sanders, I don't have this written down, but Harlem Sanders was up in his 70s, had failed miserably at everything he had ever done until he come across a recipe for fried chicken. Began to cook that fried chicken. Before it was over, he had multiple franchises, sold out for millions of dollars, and still well known around the world. When I went to India a few years ago, there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken there. And they could sell chicken in India. They had McDonald's there, and you couldn't get a hamburger. But you could get chicken. Everywhere I went, there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. So a success story. Though he failed, he kept going, kept trying, didn't give up. So if men who are quite possibly not even Christians learn that principle of falling but yet getting up, why can't we learn that principle? That though we fail seven times, we can rise back up again. We won't be bothered. Though we're bothered by trouble, we don't give up. And that's what we need to learn today. You're going to have trouble. It's on every hand. So the Bible's full of comeback stories. You know, we've heard of Jonah, we've heard of Peter, we've heard of Ruth, David, and a lot of others. So there's no reason, no matter how bad we fail, we can come back to God. There's no reason not to. We can come back to God, no matter what it is. And so, no matter how bad our lives, no matter how big our failures, God is still in the restoration business. You know men that buy cars, piece of junk, fenders flopping, rusted through, and they'll take them into their shop, and they'll rework the metal, and they'll pull the motors out, rework the motors. They'll paint everything up. They take it from frame up, restoration, and they'll make that car better than new. They'll put modern brakes on it, a new modern fuel-injected motor in it, paint that thing up, and make a beautiful car out, better than new. And that's what God does. Although you might fall, don't give up, because when you rise up in the Lord, He'll make you better than new. So get up and start again. In Hannah's great prayer, in 1 Samuel 2:4, she said this, "Those who stumbled are armed with strength." Those who stumble are armed with strength. How in the world would she know that? Because she had experienced a move of God in her life. She had stumbled, she had faltered, she had failed. She couldn't have children, but then God gave her a child, and although she felt like she had stumbled, she had failed her husband, God gave her a child. It says those who stumble are armed with strength. God gave her the strength to keep going on. The Psalms 37:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous calls, and the Lord hears, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Come on, church. How about that? Have you ever experienced that? In your trouble, your problems that you've had, haven't you felt an experience when you fell and you felt at your lowest, how God came in, picked you up from the miry clay, picked you up from your failure, and helped you succeed and helped you move forward in Him and made you a better person from it, because of it. God made you a better person. So a just man rises up. Everyone has faced adversity, and we'll face adversity again, every single one of us. There's trials, there's setbacks, they're going to occur in the life of the righteous just like they do in the life of the unsaved. We're all going to have situations and things in our life that's going to rise up, there's going to be setbacks in our lives. The righteous, however, have the potential to bounce back every time. Why? Because God's grace lifts them up. It's grace today that you're saved, and I'm going to tell you, God's grace lifts you up. I depend on God's grace daily, and I believe most of you do also. We need God's grace in our lives. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says this, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Another version put it like this, "If you fail under pressure, your strength is not very great." Church, you're going to have pressure in this life. The situation or the reality is this, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit God. There is adversity, but a just man will rise up. We're going to face things in our life. I don't care how smooth your life is going today. I don't care how great things seem like they are this morning or this afternoon. One of these days, it might be shortly, it may be this week, maybe a month down the road, maybe a year down the road, it might be this afternoon. You're going to face a bump in the road. You're going to face some adversity. It might be sickness in your family. It might be a job loss. It might be failure of one sort or another. You're going to face some adversity. But the Bible tells us that the just man rises again. Whatever it is, rise up. Don't fail under pressure. Show the enemy you have great strength. And your great strength comes from the Lord. My strength is in Him. My hope is in Him. And my peace is in Him. And so there's going to be problems in our life. There is a day of adversity. There's going to be a day of adversity for all of us. It, like I say, you don't know when, but trouble and distress will come to all of us at some time in our life. It might, like I say, it could be a temporary job loss or loss of income. It could be loss of a loved one in your family. It could be sickness. It could be any number of things. But you don't give up and stop serving God because you face some adversity. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And let's read that together this afternoon. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so we're all going to face these type of enticements. We're going to face some things that would try our joy. We're going to face some things that would zap our and cause us to lose hope if we don't hold on to the Lord. But we're going to have to pull ourselves up and rise up again. We meet trials with joy. We develop patience in our persevere in our problems, and we persevere and we endure, and we keep on keeping on. We face difficult with faith. Face all difficulties with our faith. Amen. That's what you got to do. It doesn't mean because you have trouble that God is displeased with you. That's something you need to write down. Just because I have trouble does not mean God is mad at me. Doesn't mean God is displeased with me. It's just quite the opposite. And we talked about that a little bit this morning. And so he tells us here, but let patience have her perfect work. The ideal reflects a biblical idea of perfection, defined as a right relationship with God that bears fruit in a sincere endeavor to love Him and with one's heart in an undivided attention, undivided devotion, obedience, and a blameless life. I'm being perfected. I'm going to live for God in undivided attention, devotion, and walk into perfection in Him. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be made perfect in Him. In Him. I'm going to walk through this storm and come out on the other side, not even have my hair wet. I'm going to go through the storm. My clothes aren't going to get wet. God's going to bring me through. Oh, and then again, I might get a little wet. I might even fall out of the boat. But my anchor's going to hold. My Jesus is going to come through. And he may come walking on the water anytime now. I'm going to trust Him. So there's going to be trials of faith every now and then. They're designed to produce spiritual maturity and should be counted as joy. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Not worldly temporary happiness, but spiritual, enduring, complete joy in the Lord who is sovereign over all things. God wasn't surprised when you ran into this problem this week. He was not surprised. He wasn't dismayed. He wasn't confused. But He's God in answer. He's got an answer for you, so hang in there. God's going to help you finish this journey in complete order and completely whole. God's going to do it. Going to make you complete in what you go through. The testing of our faith defines the meaning of a true Christian. You're going to have testing. It defines the meaning of a true Christian. These trials bring about genuine faith. I'm going to tell you something. When a person goes through a trial, you can tell whether they really love Jesus or not. I've seen too many times people, even people in leadership. I mean, love God. Act like they's on fire for God. You thought they was on fire for God, but when there was a problem, they gone. And they try to take as many with them as they could, tear down as many people, drag as many people down into their problem with them as they could, then they're gone. Leave God. Leave the church. Give up. So, I'll just go back to where I used to be. Well, don't give up. genuine faith, genuine, these trials will show your genuine faith make you steadfast. It'll show whether you're going to be a life of faithful endurance of troubles, of afflictions. Going to show God where you really stand. What you really, do you really love God? You really love Jesus? You really glad he saved you? You'll endure. He that endureth till the end shall be saved. That's what the word of God says. Just hang in there. God's not finished with you. I love what old Wayne Hawkins used to say in talking about problems and trials. And I know I've quoted it more than once around here, but and it's the first time I ever heard it. And I know it's been said hundreds of times before that and probably has since. But he'd say, just tie a knot and end of your rope and hold on. When you're going through a problem, you just seem like you can't go no further. You're at the end of your rope, tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on. God's going to pull you out shortly. You might feel the fire on the soles of your feet, but God's fixing to pull you out of the fire. He's fixing. You know, Jesus walked through the fire with the three Hebrew children. Don't you think he'll walk through the fire with you? He delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. Don't you think he'll deliver you out of your lion's den? Don't you think if he showed Ruth the way to be an heir of Jesus Christ and delivered her out of that vineyard, out of that field, and being a pauper and not having a husband, don't you think he'll come through for you? Come on now. If he had a child, don't you think he'll take care of your need too? I delivered, trying to think of the guy in the vineyards thrashing wheat, Gideon. Don't you think that if he delivered Gideon with only 300 men against thousands that he won't deliver you? Hey, if he's a God that answered by fire for Elijah, don't you think he'll answer you? He will. He's going to take care of your need. Hang in there. Don't give up. And you're going to face it. But God's your power. He's your might. He's our refuge. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Not you. Destroy the enemy. God's going to take care of it. Hang in there. Trust him. He's going to bring you through. We have to call on him in confidence. We have to understand that he has never broken his promise and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus promised that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to have some problems in this life, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we can say then, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. We should affirm that every time we have a want, a trial, or a distress. The Lord's my helper. I will not fear. The Lord's my helper. I will not fear. Now, just to be, now I know you get tired of me talking about me, but I've been in a health crisis since April. Now, this crisis is kind of over. But then about the time I get confident that God's taking care of everything, I get another bad report. You think that don't shake my confidence? Shake my foundation? I'm putting my faith in God. I put my faith in God that I wouldn't have cancer when it was all said and done, but I did. Put my faith in God that my one kidney that's still good would still be good forever. And then the doctor says it's not as good as it ought to be. That shakes my confidence. But my confidence is in the Lord. My refuge and my strength is in the Lord. I believe God's going to take care of me. He is my helper, and I will not fear. And the reason I was saying that, because a spirit of fear tried to get upon me a few weeks ago when I got my last diagnosis, my last visit with the doctor. Spirit of fear come upon me. And I was thinking, well, my God, I guess I better need to make my final preparations and write my order of service for my funeral and pick out my songs. And you think that didn't cross your pastor's mind? Or you're crazier than I am, because it crossed my mind. I need to prepare for death. Maybe I need to sell my cattle, and I got to get my affairs in order and set up my wife better than I have so far. You think, you thought about that? Yeah, I did. Did I articulate that? No, I didn't. But the spirit of fear. Got all over me. I didn't let it be known. My wife didn't even know it, really. Did you? Okay, my wife knew it. My kids picked up on it too, by the way. But I had to fight through it. The Lord's my helper. He's going to say to my enemies, destroy them. That doctor, that African doctor told me, nobody's kidneys get better. I'm thinking, you're a nut. Plus, I know that. Plus, it's like this, doctor, you're a doctor. My Jesus is a healer. I serve Jesus. Whose report will I believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. His report says I'm saved, so I believe it. His report says I'm healed, so I'm healed. His report says I'm delivered, so I'm delivered. I shall believe the report of the Lord. But I'm just trying to help you here today, ladies and gentlemen. There is adversity that comes into your life in different ways, in different forms, in different fashions. And we have to put our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. A just man rises up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 7 through 16. And it goes like this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellency of the power of God, power be of God and not in us. It's God who worketh in us. He says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, can you grab hold of that right there? You got sickness in your body today. Hey, wait a minute. The life, the life of Jesus is being made manifest in my body. The life of Jesus is being made manifest. You ought to grab hold of that right there. Get a hold of that right there. The life of Jesus is being made manifest in my life. The life of Jesus is being made alive in me today. It's being made manifest in my life. So his word says I'm healed, so I'm healed by his stripes. I am healed. Amen. Why can't you receive that? My. So we have these problems in our lives. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So what was we doing just a few verses about? We were declaring that the life of Jesus is being made manifest in our life. I have faith to believe. It is, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak. What does the word of God say concerning you? You believe, and so therefore you speak. And when you believe and you speak and you release faith, then God says to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. So receive it. Begin to sound like one of them charismatics now, aren't we? It's just the word of God. Charismatics, I shouldn't have said nothing like that. We guys, wish y'all quit recording all this, because I get myself in trouble. Hey, it was the word of God. It is the word of God. He says, knowing this, verse 14, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory. I don't know. I didn't plan on saying all that stuff in this. Tell you what, Spirit of the Lord's here. Anointing of God is in this place. You can receive your healing sitting right there in your pew if you'll just believe it right now. You can receive your health, your healing right now in Jesus' name. A just man rises up. We have heavenly treasures within, and we are not defeated. A Christianity is not a removal of weakness, nor merely a manifestation of divine power. It's more than that. It's a manifestation of divine power through human weakness. Because when I'm weak, Paul said, therefore I'm made strong. Why is that? Because of the divine power that's been made strong in my weakness. Made me strong in my weakness. So we need to understand that. So we can be healed today. We can be more than conquerors today. Weak by the power and love of God. Hallelujah. 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 See, by God's grace, we have breakthrough. We have breakthrough. We can rise up. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that lifts the burdens and destroys yokes. The anointing lifts burdens and destroys yokes. The anointing. Anointing of the Holy Ghost lifts burdens today. Destroys yokes. Those who are stumbled, who stumble are armed with strength. Listen to this. God's grace is immeasurable. His mercy is inexhaustible. His peace is inexpressible. God's voice steals you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you. Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns you. Whose voice do you believe today? Whose voice and whose word will you stand on today? I believe that I will stand on the word of the Lord. I believe that he declares that I am healed, so I am healed. I believe that he is the maker and the ruler of the universe, so I trust him today. I put my faith in him. I believe and I speak. I believe that I receive my help and my healing today. How about you? Amen. 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 Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Come on, stand to your feet. Don't be timid. Come on, stand, give God praise. You got sickness in your life today, reach out there and just say, Lord, I speak and therefore I receive. And because I receive, therefore I speak. And I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you all the glory, Lord, for healing me today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, I'm facing some adversity today, and my strength seems to be small. But Lord, I put my hope in you. I'm crying, and I know you're hearing me. You're delivering me out of my troubles today. Lord God, you're saying to my enemies, be gone. Hallelujah. Lord, today you are destroying cancer in our bodies. You're destroying heart disease. Father, you're destroying sugar diabetes. God, you're destroying the enemy who says my hips are bad. Oh, Lord, you're saying, the devil says my immune system's bad, but the word of God says I am healed by his stripes. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to get up and start again, Lord. I'm going to get up and start again. Oh, nothing. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God, praise God, praise God.